tonight and probably the next two Sunday nights, maybe it may spread over a different one depending on the time, but we're going to be talking about the family of God. The family of God. I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure that I've ever heard a message on the family of God specifically put that way. Perhaps I have through the years, but I don't specifically remember that. But being part of the family of God has a lot of blessings. And when we say family of God, we're talking about all those, especially in this age of grace, that have trusted Jesus as their Savior, are placed into the family of God. And we have a small picture of that within the local church, because we gather together with our local family of God. Now, all those distinctions and all that distance will be broken down at some point when we get to heaven, and we'll be with the whole family of God. But have you ever considered what it might be like if you did not have a local family of God to gather together with? There's probably not a more a bigger advocate of the local church than me. I believe that God left the local church to accomplish the purposes of God. Now, we got to step up as individuals and say, I'll fill that void, I'll do that. But ministry centers around the church. And I really believe, and y'all, some of y'all remember when this was the truth, our lives ought to center around the church. And I know for some of y'all it still does. For me, it still does. It centers around the church and the ministry of the church. But it's important that we appreciate the family of God. Would someone like to just to briefly mention, what are some of the blessings of being part of this family of God in this little local church called the family of God? Larry? There's a bunch of Yahoos out there. God loves those Yahoos, but they're way out in what they believe in. Isn't it good to get together? That's a very good point. Isn't it good to get together and say, hey, we're like-minded here. You know, we know Jesus, we're like-minded, and we can we hear a bunch of the junk of the world, but get together. What else? Blessing of the local church. Ken? Isn't that what family is supposed to do? Pray and uplift and support. And I am confident when I share a concern that I have personally, or you share a concern, it's a personal concern, I'm confident that it's not like, I'm going to ignore that. I'm confident that with at least most of us, we take that serious. And that's part of being the family of God. Gwen, did you have... Absolutely. When I give you opportunity to give a praise, I love testimonies. I really do. As I've said many times, to me, it's a win-win-win-win-win. You know, because we're hearing testimonies of how good God is, and we can do that because we're family, all right? And I can tell some of you can't wait until I say, "Has anyone got a testimony? I got one." You know, it's kind of like you've been waiting all week or a few days to say, "I want to share." And that's part of being part of the family of God, right? Amy? Some of you couldn't even figure out what day of the week it was. And I'm the same way. If I miss a church service, I'm kind of messed up. My internal clock is a little messed up because I'm not sure, is this Thursday or when? No. You know, I'm just a little bit off. You say, preacher, you're a little more than a little bit off. You're a whole lot off. Okay, I saw another hand back here somewhere. Connie?
Yeah.
as I've said many times, I think it ought not be a burden. I mean, I realize that sometimes we're tired, and every single one of us at times like, oh man, I got to go back out to church. You know, we're a little tired. I mean, we feel that way, right? But generally speaking, overall, it ought not be I have to. It ought to be I want to. What a pleasure it is. When we get together as a church, I really feel this way. It ought to be like a haven. You know, you're among family members. And you've heard Forrest Gump's description of family, right? Like a box of chocolates. Mainly sweet, but there's always a few nuts in the bunch or something along that line. That may not be a direct quote, but it's pretty close. And yeah, we got a few nuts around here, but you say, preacher, you're the biggest one I know of. Nut, that is. But can you imagine if we didn't have the family of God? If we didn't have, now again, the family of God, we're applying it to the local church, and this is our little family of God here. But that includes all those that have trusted Jesus as their Savior. But imagine if God had not given us the blessing or the gift of the family of God or the local church, which is a small picture of the family of God. I mean, I really think life would be really a whole lot tougher, don't you think? I mean, we get together with one Savior, with one purpose of worshiping God and drawing closer to Him. We end up fellowshipping and having good times together. The family of God is such a huge blessing that so many people overlook. I mean, I don't mean to turn it toward a negative way, but if everybody felt the way that y'all do, there'd be more here tonight. But some of them look at it as kind of, well, that's kind of an interruption of my schedule, or that's a problem. And I know we're busy. I get that. We're all busy, but we all have 24 hours in a day, right? So we choose on how we're going to spend that 24 hours. And I think it's good when we choose to spend it with the family of God. Interestingly, the terminology or the phrase, the family of God, is not found in Scripture. So you can go in your Bible. I have a Bible soft program I've had for years and years. It's been very helpful to me. It's got the commentaries and it's got Greek on it and all kind of good helps, Bible dictionaries and concordances and all that. And that phrase, family of God, is not in Scripture. So you say, well, preacher, how in the world are you going to preach on the family of God when it's not even? But there are things in Scripture, some terminology that clearly let us know that we're part of a family. For instance, when the word brethren is used, it's used so many times to refer to fellow brothers in Christ, and in this case, sisters in Christ, so much that the idea, the implication, why do we call it? And some churches do that. I didn't grow up with that tradition as much as some. Like, for instance, where down at school, down at Ambassador, they're more used to saying, this is brother so-and-so. And this is, even if it's a preacher, this is brother so-and-so instead of pastor so. I did not grow up in my home church. We didn't call everybody brothers and sisters. I mean, we were, but we didn't use that terminology a whole lot. But that, for instance, you know, if someone's your brother, it's pretty much we're in the same family, right? So although family of God, that exact terminology is not there. There are terms throughout Scripture. We're going to look at those terms and look in particular at what it says about the family of God in those passages, all right? If you'd turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse 17, John chapter 20. We're looking at the family of God, the family of God, John chapter 20 and verse 17. Now this is right after the resurrection, okay? And Jesus encounters Mary Magdalene. And notice what Jesus, these are words in red, notice what Jesus says to her. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my, what's that word? Brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So even Jesus calls the Heavenly Father his Father, but he says, tell my disciples that I'm going to your Father, right? And it's interesting to me. I did not know this, but I found this in an article that I was reading, that this is the first time that Jesus calls his disciples brethren. Brethren. Kind of interesting. So what can we pull from that? Point number one, if you're taking notes, we can be part of the family of God because of the resurrection. You can think about that a little bit. but without the resurrection, where would we be? Could we be part of the family of God? It probably, in my estimation, would not have been called the family of God. You might as well call it the family of doom. I mean, I'm serious. Because without the resurrection, would there be any use in... Paul puts it this way. Basically, if there is no resurrection, if there is no life after this life, we are of all men most miserable. So without the resurrection, would there really be a family of God? You see, Jesus conquered death. And it's only because he conquered death that you and I can conquer death. Now remember what Scripture calls death in the Bible quite often for a Christian. It's referred to as sleep. And Ken and I had a very spiritual theological discussion in the back of the church here just a moment ago. He said, I don't take a nap every day, but he said, when I do, it feels pretty good. Something like that, right? How many of y'all agree with that? I like to take a good nap every once in a while. And if death is like sleep, it's not that bad. We're just going to sleep here, just closing our eyes here. Hello, heaven. We can be part of the family of God because of the resurrection. Again, we come and we have a good time. We laugh, we joke, you know, we lock each other out of the church, you know, things like that. But why can we do that? Because it's the family of God. I mean, if there was no resurrection and we said, well, you know what, whenever I die, just put my ashes over Summersville Lake because I used to ski there when I was a kid or something, or over the mountains of West Virginia, and that's it. We're just poof, that's it, nothing. I mean, goodness gracious, we wouldn't get together. I don't think I'd be too jolly. I don't think I'd be too happy and joking with. You know what I'm saying? But that's all because of the resurrection. Because he had victory over death, you and I have ultimate victory over death. And we can be called as part of the family of God. You know, if it wasn't for the resurrection, we'd be doing that old hee-haw song. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, y'all know this, don't you? I can see y'all going out tomorrow, and what songs y'all sing at church? All gloom, despair, and agony. But seriously, we would be singing that if it wasn't for the resurrection. But because of the resurrection, we're part of the family of God when we trust him as Savior. The family of God. We can be part of the family of God because of the resurrection. Secondly, it's interesting. I just want to reiterate again that the first time he called his disciples brethren was the first words out of his mouth after the resurrection. Made the family of God possible. Secondly, we enter the family of God by being saved. Now, I know you know that. But there's a verse, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3:26. Notice what this verse says. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. It says, as he writes to the church of Galatia, Christians, part of the family of God. Notice what he says. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God. Again, family of God's not in Scripture, but here we're called the children of God, right? And Gwen, if you're a child of God, and Larry, you're a child of God, and Debbie, you're a child of God, and Diana, you're a child of God, and I go all around the room. Guess what? that makes us part of the same family, right? We are related. So it says there, it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The only way to become part of the family of God is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. What an awesome, not only are you saved, saved from what? You're saved from death, hell, and the grave. Not only are you saved, but you're given the added benefit and the bonus of being part of the family of God, of which the local church is a small picture of that family of God. Don't you like these little commercials, you know, as seen on TV commercials? You know, they're there and they say, you can buy this. This is the greatest thing ever was, and you can buy it for one payment of $19.99. And then you just keep watching long enough, and usually they'll say, but as a bonus, as a bonus, we'll throw in, you know, these other accessories. Sometimes they'll say, we'll drop, you know, it's three payments, we'll drop a payment. Sometimes they'll say, you know, two for the price of one. I mean, aren't you thankful that one of the bonuses of being saved is that we're called children of God and we're part of the family of God. What a huge, huge blessing it is. You know, technologically, I get frustrated with passwords. Don't you? Passwords. I mean, it's like everybody knows everything about me anyway. Probably. The government knows everything about you. And some of the stupidest, most simple things. I'm wanting to use a coupon, electronic coupon or something, to go through McDonald's, through the app. But somehow my phone is logged out of McDonald's. And I want to go through and get my free four-piece chicken nugget or my free Fry Friday or something, right? And it logs out and you're there and you're like, okay. And you're in line and you're like, usually Amy does all this, but it's like, whoa. I can't get back in. I wonder what my password is. And it's like, why in the world do I need a password? You know what I mean? And then what really gets me sometimes is when you have a password and you put it in. And they have the nerve to come back and say, that's not good enough. It's my password. I'll make it whatever I want it to be, right? You can tell that's a sensitive issue to me. But you know what, if you will, the password that gets you into the family of God is by trusting Jesus as your Savior. You know, the Bible says, I quoted it this morning in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And when you are saved by faith and confessing Jesus as your Savior, guess what? You become a child of God and therefore a part of the family of God. We're talking about the family of God tonight. Number one, we can be part of the family of God because of the resurrection. Secondly, we enter the family of God by being saved. And I do want you to pray for fruit from the message this morning. I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, I know God wanted me to preach a pure salvation message. And I'm sure that God knew exactly who would be here. And there was some, I'm convinced, and I'm not saying this one, I'm just saying, I'm convinced that in the number of people that we had there, that some people needed to hear the salvation message. And they need to be saved. So pray that the seeds were planted and we'll see the fruit of that. And those people will be saved and become part of the children of God and therefore part of the family of God. Number three, if you want to turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, this is a familiar verse. There's like a little chorus that goes along with it. Behold, what manner of love. Do you know that one? Y'all ever heard that one? Behold, what manner of love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God. And then you sing through it more than once. There might be more to it. That's the chorus part that I remember. But you notice it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Love. That we should be called the sons of God. Now again, the family of God terminology is not there, but if we're sons, we're children of God, therefore we're part of the family of God. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, so that, or that, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But the point is, guess what? We can be part of the family of God because of God's love. And basically, you know, I've heard this explained, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Some people say that word bestowed is lavished, or basically just poured in abundance over us. God's love is real. And without the love of God, Jesus wouldn't have come. Without the love of God, we wouldn't have all the things that we have. What if God was a mean God? We'd be in trouble. Or even what if God was a distant God? He, as I say, as from what I understand, the deists used to believe that God just wound the world up and said, you're on your own. That's not the kind of, God lavishes, blesses our socks off with his love. And it's because of that love, if you read that right, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed or given to us, poured upon us, lavished upon us, that, so that we should be called the sons of God. It's all because of his love that we can get together and say, guess what? I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad that I can come to church and be among my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all because of the love of God. Now, of course, the love of God led to Jesus coming to this world because John 3:16, for God so loved, not just God loved the world. To me, that verse wouldn't have near as much of an impact if it just said, for God loved the world. That it says, but God so loved, for God so loved the world. That means a bunch of love, right? And he had to save me. And he had to come to this old world and go through what he went through. It's a bunch of love. And because he came, guess what? We can be part of the family of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Part of the Romans Road. I did not use that verse this morning. Didn't feel compelled to do so. But you know what it says? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Isn't that something? If I'm understanding this right, and on the subject of the family of God, if I'm understanding it right, we can be part of the family of God because of God's love. One of my favorite movies of all time, and I've told you this before. Can anyone tell me what, other than Amy, tell me what one of my at least one of my favorite movies of all time is? No, actually, it's a Christmas movie. It's A Wonderful Life. Now I realize that the theology is you know, angels getting their wings, the bell. I mean, I realize there's problems with that theology there, even though I do like Clarence. My dad always said it. He said, my guardian angel, I'm sure, is a lot like Clarence. My dad always said. I like the movie because it shows the impact. And do you remember near the end of the movie when he's granted his wish, like, you know, that I'd never been or I'd never lived this life or whatever. And he goes running through what was Bedford Falls, a pretty nice little town. And guess what it is now? Y'all remember Pottersville, right? Pottersville, isn't it? Pottersville? And he's running through and you got all these bars and all these saloons and these girly shows and all that, basically the flashing lights and all that, because the town is, just think about this for a moment. If God hadn't showed us love, what would this world be like? I mean, again, if he'd have just wound up the world and said, you're on your own. But that's not the kind of God he is. He showed his love. And imagine how dark this world would be. I've been in situations, I was thinking about that just the other day, and I'm not sure why that was, but I remember one time we were inviting people to, I'm pretty sure it was Vacation Bible School, and that was when I pastored down in Williamstown, and we were in a trailer park, and we were given, more than I can ever recall, it just felt like the darkness was just right there. I'm not sure if there were, honestly, whether, you know, there was some demonic activity going on in that trailer park or a lot of it, or I don't know. But I mean, it was almost like, man, I can just feel the darkness of this world. I'm thankful that, yeah, there's darkness in the world, but I'm thankful that in spite of the darkness, God's love, and it's because of God's love that I'm part of the family of God. And because of that, and now I'm really convinced, you know how bad things are right now, but you know, in the Bible, where it talks about that Antichrist will be revealed whenever that which restraineth is removed, you know, that which restrains evil. Now, there's some debate on what exactly is that. Some people say, well, it's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, when the Lord comes back, is going to be removed from the earth. And some say, no, it's the church. It's church what it is. Whenever the church, you know, my answer to that, I take the easy way out. I say, yep. Which one is it? Yep. Because if the church is going, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit's going to go, and imagine how bad this world, I mean, what would this world be like without little families of God like this that get together and pray for the victims of the plane crashes that happened this week, and pray for the families that are suffering through all that, and uplift the world, and pray for our president, and pray for legislation that may be coming up, and things like that. I mean, where would this world be? But it's all because of the love of God. He loved us so much, he sent Jesus. And he loved us so much, it sounds like that because of that love, and it makes sense, that's why we can say we're part of the family of God. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm glad the world's not like Pottersville because of God's love. There's a lot of good things about this world. God's not done with this world. God is not done saving people. And we have a bright future, don't you think? Tonight, I'm going to unplug right there. Tim, can you say amen to that? I'm going to unplug right there. The family of God, point number one tonight we looked at. We can be part of the family of God because of the resurrection. Otherwise, it would be a family of doom, most likely. But because he had victory over death, we know that our future is bright. And we too, I don't think it's we will have that. We already have victory over death. Second, we enter the family of God by being saved. It talks about the children of God. We are children of God because we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And what a fringe benefit, what a bonus it is to say, guess what? I've also put in the family of God. I'm not a lone ranger. I got people to care about me. And a small picture of that is the local church. And thirdly, we looked at we can be part of the family of God because of God's love. Because of God's love. I'm thankful that he showed us his love through Jesus and sending his son to this world. And I have, as part of being a son of God, I'm also part of the family of God. So, tonight, the question I have, whether you're listening in by through the live stream that we have or however, if you're here tonight, either one, are you part of the family of God? Are you sure that you're part of the family of God? Have you been saved? That's another way to say it. Have you been saved? Because once you're saved, you're placed in the family of God. The second question I have for you, do you appreciate the family of God? Now, I mean, just look at us. I mean, we all got our quirks, right? We're all a little strange. We just don't always know it, right? We all got our little peculiarities. You've heard the expression odd ducks. That's an expression we sometimes use in our family. Well, there's an odd duck. But whenever you say that, you kind of look in the mirror and say, well, there's an odd duck in the mirror looking back at me too. But do you appreciate the family of God in spite of our peculiarities? Third question, do you thank God regularly for the family of God? Do you thank God regularly for the family of God? And the last question, do you fully support this mini picture, if you will, of the family of God called Oakmount? Do you fully support? I'm not talking about money. That's part of it. But I'm talking about, are you fully behind this little family of God that we got called Oakmount Evangelical Church? I hope that's the case. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the family of God. We thank you, Lord, that we'll spend eternity with the family of God, those that have trusted Jesus. And Lord, we know that was all possible because of the resurrection. That was all possible because of your love to us in sending Jesus. And Lord, when we said yes to salvation, we became part of the family of God. And we thank you for this little part of the family of God here, the local church, which is very important. Lord, I pray that we'll never minimalize the importance of this little church right where we're at and the impact that we're having on our community. Lord, I've often thought, what if you just pull every church out of the communities, where in the world we'd be? The world's pretty dark as it is. But Lord, we just thank you again for the family of God, and we thank you for this church. Lord, help us to remember to thank you and appreciate being part of the family of God. And Lord, to pray for this family of God that we have here in small microcosm here, Lord, called Oakmount. And Lord, may we fully support this family of God right here called Oakmount, the best of our ability, Lord, with all of our energy and our efforts, we pray. Lord, we love and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I'd encourage you, if you're listening in and you don't know Jesus, or if you're here, tell me I want to be saved. If you're listening in, salvation is very simple. It's so simple that a lot of people miss it. All you really have to do from your heart, call out to God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died as your son on the cross, and mean that from your heart to pay for my sin and resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. And when you do that, you can be born again. I don't care where you're listening in at. You could be in your recliner. You could be out and about in your car. I don't know. But wherever you are, you can call out to God. And it's that simple. He's a big enough God. He can hear you. And you can be saved right where you're at. But you got to mean it from your heart and commit your heart and life to Jesus. For the rest of us tonight, as we sing this song, and you probably figured out what song we're going to sing, The Family of God, I want you, either at your seat or at the altar or however you'd like to do it, but I'd like for you to pause somewhere along the line, and then maybe this week, as you think about Oakmount, just thank God for this little part of the family of God called Oakmount. Would you do that? So however God leads you.